the administration of the church shifted over the course of centuries from a simple practical arrangement to get things done, increasingly to an order of clergy who were distinct from the laity. So we now have a professional class within Christianity called the clergy, who were more educated, more trained, and devoted themselves entirely to the work of the church, and the laity. The word lay means, of course, the non-professional, who also, therefore, tended to be less educated, non-specialized in their work, and very often supported the clergy financially as well. Under the empire, hierarchical structures became ever more elaborate, both at the local level, so that in a local level of the church, you would have a bishop presiding over the church, but then you would have priests beneath the bishop and deacons below them, so three orders of clergy. But then increasingly, ever more elaborate steps leading up to the priesthood, so that functions within the community that formerly may have been carried out by different people, readers, exorcists, and so forth, now became stages toward elevation, so that one went from being an acolyte to a lector to a thurifer, somebody who carried the smoke, to exorcist, to subdeacon, to deacon, to priesthood, you see. So you begin to get a very elaborate internal structure of organization. That's at the local level. Then at the regional level, you had patriarchs, father rulers, who would be the main bishop, often the term is often used, archbishop, a ruling bishop, over a larger area. And even above that, the imperial city and the bishop at the imperial city, first Rome and then Constantinople, tended to become the patriarchs with the most punch. So the bishop of Rome, the bishop of Constantinople, were administrative leaders for vast geographical areas. So the church became not so much a local organism as a very complex organization, increasingly in this period. And that, of course, has a number of implications, none of which I'm going to go into at this moment, but we'll pick up in later presentations. I want to turn to the notion of worship. With the expansion of the church's structures and its occupation of these great public spaces for its worship, its own liturgy or public worship also became more elaborate. Notice that the very word liturgy is used in ancient Greece for the public works of city-states. That is, the festivals, processions, the feasts and celebration of various gods. Wealthy patrons would put up the money to enable these public works to be done for the religious and civic good of the community. Well, Christian worship now, interestingly, comes to be called liturgy, a great public work. So that, again, we move in the direction of complication. Our few glimpses of early Christian worship in the New Testament, baptism and the Lord's Supper, emerge as fairly simple ritual activities, centered in the experience of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Baptism was a simple ritual of initiation in which a person, as we saw in the last presentation, professed their commitment to Christian belief, took off their clothing, plunged into water, come out of the water, given new white garments, a candle to hold, and then they would enter into a sharing of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper was basically a simple meal, a shared meal of bread and wine, sometimes also bread and water in some communities, or bread and fish in some communities, but basically a meal that was an expression of fellowship among the believers, but a fellowship that was based in a deeper spiritual fellowship with the resurrected Jesus.